have been doing a series, and God has just instructed me to continue our series on and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We tend to lose that a lot. We tend to, I think, neglect God and what He wants in us. So this morning, I want to continue with the Pentecostal wind and fire. If you will turn with me to the book of Acts. See, this is kind of where it all started. The church age, the church dispensation, things all took place in the book of Acts. Okay? Give you a prelude. The book of Acts is the book of action. Acts is an abbreviation for action. And it's the action of the church then, and it should be the action of the church today. Is the church still in action? Yes. Is the church still moving forward in the Lord? Yes. Now, there are hiccups. I guess that's what people like to call them, hiccups. Things happen. Things get kind of sidetracked. But the church, let me explain the church. The church is not this building. Are we okay with that? The church is not some elaborate sanctuary somewhere that thousands of people go to. It's a building, and that's all it is. The church is you and I as a fellowship with Him. That's the church. And see, I get the opportunity of saying that an awful lot, and I know Ray does too because of his job. We both get that opportunity to say that a lot because people try to stereotype you into the church you go to. And I don't like to be stereotyped. Okay? They say, well, aren't you an Assemblies of God minister? Aren't you one of those holy rollers? Well, praise the Lord, yes! But I don't like to be stereotyped into that. I said, I love my denomination, I love my church in that realm because of things in that denomination. But The most important thing that I have is my relationship with my Heavenly Father above. That's what determines the church. And that's what makes a church move forward or what makes a church regress. When our relationship becomes less and our denomination becomes more. When we look to more of what we can do for our building, church, and less of what we can do for our Lord, our Heavenly Father. See, we have a physical church, we have a spiritual church. And I'm not saying that we should just let the physical church go down anyway. But I do believe our first responsibility is our relationship with the Lord. Our second can be the building, can be the church, can be doing things. But we need to understand that. And this is where the disciples are coming in. You got to understand where the disciples were. This is all new to them. They knew the Lord. I believe wholeheartedly they knew God. I believe wholeheartedly they were saved. But I also believe wholeheartedly that they were weak. Good example is Peter. Peter's example of this whole scenario was when the Lord was crucified, Peter ended up denying the Lord. This is someone that was supposed to be the rock. Denied the Lord. He went back to fishing. He went back and gave up. I don't say that he gave up on his relationship, but he gave up because he thought the Lord had left him. So many times when you get in trouble in life, you sometimes think that the Lord has left me. I believe you can relate to Peter in that aspect. But see, here's where the Lord came in is when he met with Peter again and things kind of reversed around and things got better and the Lord's getting ready to leave and he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And I'm sure Peter had kind of visions at that time. Oh, no. Not again. You came back, you did all this, now you're going to leave me again? See, the Lord said, I have to go because I'm going to prepare another place for you. And if I didn't go, I couldn't prepare that place for you. So I have to go. But when I go, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave someone to take care of you. I'm going to leave someone to hold your hand. I'm going to leave someone to give you the power that you need that you don't have right now. Yes, you're weak, but very soon you'll be strong. Okay? Stand with me. Book, second chapter of Acts, verse 2, chapter 2. But before we do that, I haven't been doing this lately, and I'd like to do that. Kind of put your finger on it, hold it up. Hold your Bible up, please. This is the living word of God. That I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelations. Today my heart is receptive. And my spirit is alive. As I learn to submit my will to His. I am forever changed. A child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, and it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. Now we're going down to verse 12, and it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this be? Heavenly Father, anoint this time, anoint this message in your mighty name. And everyone said amen. Turn to someone, shake their hand, and say, wow. Wow. You've got to understand why the Lord did what He did at this specific time. And we need to learn to see things we thought we know all about in new ways. Things that you think you know about, we need to learn to see them differently in new ways. We too often are stuck in seeing the world in only one way. And forget that we can be led to different viewings of different things in our world, our society, and in God. On the day of Pentecost, there were many Jews who understood, who saw God's new view of the world through the eye of the Spirit. But you have to understand that there were also many who did not and who could not see the world around them in any other way than the way it was and has always been. They get stuck in the mud. Well, it's this way. This is the only way I know. And this is the way it has to be. So in turn, they do not look at what God is trying to do. They do not look at things differently. And sometimes God wants to do things differently. Amen? Every one of you are different. Every one of you have different personalities. Aren't you glad? You know, how would we all like to be like Jerry? Oh my goodness, would that be boring? Or like someone else. You are your own personality. And God wants to utilize that. So God wants to sometimes shake things up. Huh? Sometimes He wants to shake things up. He wants to shake things up in you. Okay? The day of Pentecost in the Jewish tradition commemorated the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. This was a traditional thing, the day of Pentecost, okay? This is something that they did every year, and it was the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, okay? So they celebrated this every year. What the disciples experienced when they were all together and the Spirit came upon them was nothing less than a release. Now listen to this. The release of the law of the Spirit of life, replacing the old covenant of the law of sin and death. I got to say that again, because that's a big one. We are so stuck today on the old things. We have a covenant. God gave the Israel nation a covenant. True? But I call that the old covenant. Now, I don't believe God has taken that old covenant away, but I do believe God has given a new covenant. Okay? The old covenant was the law of sin and death. Things that had to be done. Things that you had to do specifically. Do you understand that the Jewish nation today wants to bring back the old covenant? Amen? That is true, whether you believe it or not. That is true. That's what they want, because they don't believe in the new covenant. They don't believe in what Jesus did, because they don't believe in Jesus. So they cannot believe in this new covenant. Okay? But the new covenant is a law of the Spirit. See, before, we didn't have that. All we had was certain prerequisite laws laid before us that we had to follow, and if we didn't follow them, there was sin and death put there. But God is saying, and Jesus was saying, I'm going to give you a new law. And that new law was presented to you when Jesus died and was put on that cross and rose again. That's the new law. He says, I'm going to give you the law of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit can live in you and the Holy Spirit can work through you. See, that was the new law. But Pentecost was also a time of celebrating the first fruits, a harvest festival. Now listen to this. This experience of the disciples was only the first fruits of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What you saw in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, was the first fruits. The day of Pentecost was giving you the first fruits. Okay? It was what God was going to do. It was the first thing He was going to do of many things that He would do afterward. This is the beginning of something that was going to move and be a dynamic ministry, a dynamic tool in the church. Hallelujah. And see, the church would change. The church would change from the law of sin and death to the law of the Spirit. The church would change to a church that was in action, a church that was moving, a church that saw thousands and thousands of people. That very day, 5,000 came to know the Lord. Now, was that something different? And that was just the beginning. We must consider, what will the outpouring of the Spirit look like in our day as we draw closer and closer to the Lord's return? And I will say this and let you know that the good Lord is coming. The good Lord is coming. I believe it's a lot sooner than we want to expect. But He's coming. So how can we view the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today? Let me give you an illustration. During the Depression in the West Texas, Mr. Ira Yates was like many other ranchers and farmers. He had a lot of land and a lot of debt. Some of us can relate to that. Probably the debt. I don't know about the land. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage. So he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, had to live on a government subsidy. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greater troubled about how we would pay his bills. Then a seismologist crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on your land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125 barrels of oil a day. A day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he had received the oil and mineral rights. Yet, he had been living on relief. He had been living like a pauper. Like a pauper. A millionaire living in poverty. The problem, he didn't know the oil was there, even though he owned the property. Now, let me give you the analogy of that. It is fair to say that you and I are a lot like Mr. Yates. We are heirs of a vast, vast treasure, and yet we live in spiritual poverty. We have the ability through God, through the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus to be spiritual millionaires. Yet we live in spiritual poverty when it's sitting right there at our fingertips. And this is the church of today. Many churches have taken the Holy Spirit and have put it on the wayside for their entertainment, their organization, their whatever. So the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. Has it changed? The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. People have changed. People are like Mr. Yates. You're living on government's subsidy because spiritual poverty, because you haven't looked right in front of your eyes and say, is that for me? Is that for me? And that is so true. It is for you. So this morning, you need to know how rich you really are. Now let's look at what the Holy Spirit means by looking at the symbols that came with the Holy Spirit that first Pentecost. The two symbols were wind and fire. Wind and fire. See? So let's take the first one, wind. Wind. In the New and Old Testament, wind is the indicator of divine presence. In fact, the word wind and spirit are the same word both in Greek and in Hebrew. And so when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says in John 3:5-8, I tell you the truth that no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Do you understand what it's talking about is putting wind and spirit together? When we are born of the Spirit and we allow the Spirit to move in us, it's like the wind. And that's what he's saying. You are born of the flesh, but until you get born of the Spirit, you're dead. Spiritually, you're dead. It's like when he was telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus' question was, well, how can I do this? How can I go back to the mother's womb and be reborn? Jesus said, well, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you, what is born of the flesh is the flesh. Yes, you are flesh, but you're dead in the spirit. And I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get alive in the spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into you and become alive in the spirit. Yes, you have two births. Hopefully one death. Maybe not even that, if the good Lord decides to come back. In Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the dry bones, he says in Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10. Then said he to me, prophesy to the breath and the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up to their feet, and was an exceeding great host. I call that an army. Before, they were just dry bones. That sounds like about a lot of us. We're just a bunch of dead, dry bones until the Spirit comes in. And when the Spirit comes in, that's when He puts life into you. That's when He puts the ability to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was nothing more than dry bones. He might have known the Lord, but he didn't know the power. When Peter received the power of the Holy Spirit, there was a change. There was a life-changing experience that he received when the power of the Holy Spirit came into his life. You can say amen, and I'm okay with that. Notice here, the winds come from all directions. The east wind was a symbol of destruction. The west wind was a symbol of a strong and mighty wind. The north wind was of a pleasant, growing wind. And the south wind was a symbol of the pleasant, warm wind. The wind is the breath of God which is blowing on us. Let me give you another example. How many of you like eagles? Okay? I know Barbara does. She liked my Eagle Christian message. Well, I'm going to give you another example on eagles. I like eagles because they give great examples on what God can do and the power of God. You know, thank God that He created eagles. Eagles know how to test the wind. When the right breeze blows, chickens call it a storm, the eagle will spread its wings and lift off higher and higher, above the storm and above the clouds into the clear blue sky. That's where the eagle goes when the right breeze blows. Where do you go? Do you find some way, somehow, to soar through the Holy Spirit to get above the clouds, above the pain, above the things and the stress that you're going through? Or do you hide away, shrink into some corner, and say, why me? Oh, me. Oh, my. When the good Lord has given you the greatest example. The greatest example is a dude like that eagle. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to go through struggles. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to go through problems. But I am going to tell you there's a way to release yourself of those. When you're down and out, when you're low, and you feel like just nobody cares for you anymore. Guess who does care? The good Lord cares all the time. And that's when you need to get on like that eagle. You need to listen for the wind. Listen for the wind. And when the right breeze comes, understand you're not a chicken. When the right breeze comes, you get a hold of it. And you soar to the heights through the Holy Spirit and move into areas that unknown. That's what He wants to do with you. That's why He's stirring you up and making things different. Every service, there is a heavenly breeze that blows in the congregation. Every service is an opportunity to allow God to move. Every service is an opportunity. Every service. God help us to know when that breeze is blowing. Understand that in the second chapter of Acts, verses 2 and 4, it tells us that a mighty rushing wind came, and then the cloven tongues of fire came afterward. Without the breath of God, there would be no tongues of fire. Without the breath of God, there would be no Holy Spirit. Do you follow that? Notice that this was no ordinary wind. It came as a mighty sound from the heavens, and it filled the place where they were together. It came as a mighty sound. It filled the whole room where they were standing, and it came upon them together. Just as the breath, air, and wind are the sources of physical life, and let me tell you, you can't live without breath. You can't live without the ability to breathe. You will expire. You will die. Okay? I believe that scenario gives us the same thing. This wind, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, will be the essence of the spiritual life in the church today. And without it, we'll die. Without it, we'll perish. Without it, we'll fail. That's the presence of God. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those who were together that day had already experienced salvation. They had met that resurrection Christ. They knew salvation. They knew Him. They were forgiven. I really believe that, okay? They were forgiven, but there was something lacking in their life. Hallelujah. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not for salvation, but for the empowering for service. They needed to be spiritually empowered for the task that Jesus had commanded them to do. And this spiritual strength came through being filled with the Holy Spirit. 120 individuals in the upper room. 120 individuals that knew the Lord. Saved. Salvation. Knew the Lord. Walked with Him. 120. Jesus said, go and tarry until the Holy Spirit comes. Go and tarry until it happens. They were in the upper room. And it says when they were in the upper room. What were they doing? They weren't playing games. They weren't having a board meeting. It says they were in the upper room and they were praying. Why do I think prayer is so important today? Prayer is what's going to change the church. Prayer. They were in the upper room praying. Did they know what was going to happen? No. All they wanted was to be closer to Jesus. Closer to His presence. Because Jesus told them, go there. And then when you go there, a comforter is going to come. I think they really felt, well, we'll go over there and pray because Jesus is probably going to come back. And we'll meet Him in the upper room. Maybe that's what they were thinking. They didn't know what they were thinking. They just knew that the Lord told them to do it. And go. If God ever tells you to go do something, do it. If God tells you to do something, do it. Because if you don't, guess what? You'll miss a blessing. If they had chosen not to go to that upper room, if they had chosen not to do what the Lord told them to do, the Holy Spirit would not have come. The church would have been a disaster. But because they did and obeyed God, the Holy Spirit came, filled them. And it says that first day, the very first day, Peter, a fisherman, preached the word of God with such authority and such power, the people down there said, I can't believe, this is impossible. How could this even be? 5,000 souls that day were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're yielded to God, God does things. We need to know that the wind comes in different forms. It comes as a gentle puff of air that cools us on a hot summer day. It comes as a stirring breeze that revives us when we are hot and bothered. And that's the type of wind I like. It's getting way too hot out there. Nevada's been noted for wind. Where is it? I'm not looking for the big boisterous wind, which is the next one. It's the blustery gale, the hurricane, the tornado, and the whirlwind. I'm not truly looking for that, Lord, but a nice little breeze would be nice in the afternoon because it gets a little hot around here in the afternoon. But now let me give you something here. When the move of the Spirit is like the gentle puff of wind, it is the Spirit who comes to comfort us when we are struggling. Pretty good, huh? The stirring breeze is like the Spirit coming to call us to action. It wakes us up and we set sails ready to move. When the Spirit comes like a gale, all we can do is prostrate ourselves. And when he comes like a hurricane or a tornado or a whirlwind, he splits the rocks and the blocks and that block the work of God in our lives. And he blows apart the things that we have created. Ooh. We have created. See, sometimes he doesn't want us. I mean, I believe in our life that we have to do things. We have physical life that we live, so we have to do things. But God says, always call upon him first. Because when it's his will, things will flow perfectly. Okay? We have his will, we have our will. I'll guarantee you, from experience, our will doesn't work too often or too well. But when you're in his will, everything works. No matter what you go through, no matter what comes your way, it works when you're in his will. And understand, that's where that blusterous hurricane, tidal wave, whirlwind of wind comes. When you're in his will and the devil comes at you and tries to throw things that hinder you to get you out of his will or to make you think, well, I'm wondering, is this truly God's will? Has anybody ever, I mean, I'm not going to say that I haven't questioned, you know. Lord, is this truly your will? And that whirlwind has to come and put me back in place. You know? Yeah. How many like to stand in front of the hurricane and say, bring it on? I don't think so. But when it's a spiritual hurricane and you know you're going into some hurricane-type issues, you also know that the good Lord, he's there. He's in the midst of it. And he'll lead you through. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. You cannot mount up on the breath of God or fly in the heavenlies unless you are walking obediently. See, again, the Israel nation thought more of sacrifice than they did obedience. Right? And see, God had to come to them and say, and a few sayings in the Bible, he says, you know something? I appreciate your sacrificing. Yes. I appreciate that. And I know that that's a covenant that I made with you for sacrifice. But I will also tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you can learn to be obedient to me, you won't have to worry about all that sacrificing. Yes. I don't think some of us have learned that yet. Unless you have thoroughly made Jesus Lord of your life, Lord of your mind, Lord of your soul, Lord of your spirit, Lord of your attitude, Lord of your actions, Lord of your emotions, Lord of all, unless he is that, you will struggle. You will fight. And you will go through things that God doesn't want you to go through. Okay? I'm not telling you that you're not a born-again believer. I'm just telling you you have been sold, totally sold out. There are lots of loving Christians that I meet every day. Ray, I know you meet them too. Loving people that are struggling because they have not truly made Lord of all. They have something they're holding back on. Something they're holding back on. There is a wind that is blowing again. And God wants to renew our walk with him. With him. See, you got to understand something. If you don't make him Lord of everything, what you're going to do is pray longer and louder, shout louder and louder, flap the dead air, and get nowhere. Nowhere. Now, I'm going to leave you with that. And next week, we'll talk about, again, which I've talked once before on the fire of the Holy Spirit. I do believe it bears repeating. We're going to talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit as the next symbol. And then we're going to talk about some of the effects that takes place when the coming of the Holy Spirit is there. Plan to come and see what God will do. And take the opportunity this week to allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to come into your life. How many of you have ever been in a service when you can actually feel the wind? You can actually, it's there. And you're saying, and you get a little bit of chill bumps on you because you're saying, oh my, what is that? And you're feeling the presence of God. God moving in a service. It's awesome.
It's mighty. Yeah.
I can't even give you the words that contain that. That when you're sitting in a service and all of a sudden, I'm talking about a service in a building when there, you know, it could be blusterous hurricane wind outside, but you're in a building and you don't hear it. And all of a sudden you can feel it inside the building. And God is moving. See, that's what He wants to do. That's what He wants to do. He wants to move in your presence. He wants to move in you. Our world is coming to a close. This generation, this age, this society, this dispensation is coming to a close. And I believe without a doubt, like some people don't believe this, but I believe it. I believe God is preparing His people, you, for a mighty, mighty end time revival that will take place in your hearts. That revival is not going to take place in a building. Can I say that? That revival that He's talking about is going to take place in you. There's going to be people that were born again 30, 40 years ago that have just gotten so lackadaisical, so tired, that they kind of left that point of allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And the rushing, mighty wind, that wind could blow very softly, and you'll feel it. That wind will be a little breeze. You'll feel it. You know, there's a song by First Christ Church, "The Sweet Aroma of the Holy Spirit." Oh, I love that song. And it's that sweet aroma of His presence. And you will know when the presence of God is upon you. You will know when the presence of God is in your room. You will know when it's in your car. Did you understand that the presence of God can be in your car? Now, I'm not going to tell you that you'll just lift your hands up, let go of the steering wheel, drive down the road. Don't do that, by the way. Something might happen that might not be too good. But I'm saying, I'm driving down the road, I'm listening to some good gospel music, and the power and presence of God will hit me, tears will flow, and I will be in the presence of the Almighty God in the middle of the highway. It can happen. It can happen. And it's up to you. It's up to you. See, that's what He wants. He wants to see Reno and Sparks. I am looking for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit to touch this town. Can you imagine the newspaper articles, the news media hitting us? Reno and Sparks, on fire for God. What? It can happen. It can happen. I'm not just talking about this church. I'm praying for every church in this area. I'm praying for them, that the power of God touch them. Stand with me. Just close your eyes and listen to this song. If you know the song, sing it.
We need you.
Lift your hands and worship Him. I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God. If that is you this morning, and you're saying, I know the Lord. I know He's in my heart. I know I'm saved. But I also know it's been a long time since I felt the wind of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's been a long time when I've asked God, what do you want me to do, Lord? It's been a long time. And I just want to this week, I want to feel His presence. This week, I want to be able to move out and to help someone else in need. There's so many people out there that are dying and going to hell that you, as a born-again believer, Spirit-filled, can help. God wants to use you. The question I asked, do you want God to use you? And if that is so, raise your hand this morning. And I'm going to pray with you this morning that God will use you dynamically, wholeheartedly, under the power of the unction of the Holy Spirit. He will use you. I see the hands throughout the congregation. Lord, and I know not only do I see them, oh God, but you see them. God, use them this week, dynamically. Use them this week, oh God, wholeheartedly. Use them this week, oh God. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come into their life. Bring back to remembrance, oh God, things, oh God, that they've done in the past, things that they've read in the past. Your word, oh God, bring it back to remembrance, oh God. Let them be a testimony to those that they meet as they're in the highways and the byways, oh God. Let them be a testimony to those that they meet, I pray, in your mighty name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Have your way. Sing it one more time.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray.
We've been singing this song, and I think it would be appropriate if we would present this to the Lord, not just as a song we're singing, but the cry from our heart, a prayer, saying, come, come, sweet Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Come in your own special way. Come in your strength and your power. Let's sing it together, only this as a prayer to Him, a closing prayer to Him. Not for the church in general, but for us individually. Let this be our closing prayer individually as we join together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.